is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A new hour begins right here on Live Bet Sunday. I am Ben Stevens. Appreciate you joining us here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, however you may be. Sirius XM, Channel 158, YouTube TV, the VSiN Watch app, here on a late Sunday night in the middle of August, a football month, as we have shared. In college football, the 2026 season is under 2 weeks away. 2 weeks from yesterday, a great week zero slate, eight FBS games that will certainly get you going in the right way for 2026. And joining us now to start this new hour here on Live Bet Sunday, it is one of the best in college football, dare I say the preeminent voice when it comes to CFB fantasy football, lead college football analyst for Yahoo Sports. It is Eric Froton joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line on Live Bet Sunday. Eric, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here to get the people ready for a new year in college football.
Could not be more excited, obviously, for the true nationwide platforming of college fantasy football. And I'm here to hopefully answer any questions you might have and try to paint the picture for some of the viewers out there who might be interested in trying it out.
Yeah, Eric, let's start right there because it's really cool to talk fantasy football collegiately. Basically, everybody plays it in terms of the NFL, but with it coming to Yahoo Sports on that platform for college football, I know I am incredibly excited, and I'm sure many like myself are for 2026 as well. What do you think is the most important thing to understand about playing college football, fantasy football?
Well, I would say for the NFL sort of transitioners out there who are coming down in the NFL, to the NCAA, I would say familiarizing yourself with the depth of the player pool. You know, where you're going from 32 NFL teams to 68 Power 4 teams here in Yahoo. You could do 138 if you go into the FBS full-size leagues. At Yahoo, we're focusing on the Power 4 because we do want to make it as accessible as possible for the rank-and-file fan because, gosh, who can go and mine through the entire G6 when you're just joining up and linking up for the first time with college fantasy. So if there's anything, I would say just, you know, familiarize yourself to the very best of your ability with the depth of the player pool and understand the scoring system. Because if you're in a standard Yahoo league, which only starts one quarterback per week, well, you're only starting 12 of those 68 QBs. And with 18 roster spots, you're starting 10 guys. You've only got 8 spots with which to stash numerous, you know, we got 68 teams. There's no shortage of skill players you can stash. You don't want to carry more than 2 quarterbacks since you're only starting 1 per week in those standard leagues. So make sure to stockpile skill with your bench positions.
Eric, I was watching one of your explainer videos for college football, fantasy football on Yahoo Sports, and one of the priorities you listed in drafting is going after a running back. Get a power back. Get a workhorse who is going to put up great numbers, and there are many to choose from in college football entering 2026. Which few running backs or a couple of names would you highlight for the college football fan to know entering this new season?
Well, sure. And when we're talking about the running back position in college fantasy football, it's very important to understand where these points are coming from. Now, if you're playing in a PPR point per reception format, you have to understand that last year, 14 of the top 20 returning scoring running backs secured 25 plus receptions. I sort of employ what's known as the 50 point principle, which is you want to try to acquire running backs who you feel can get 50 points out of their receiving game. Find, as discussed, those are the ones who tend to translate. One player I love who's a running back that you're going to be hearing more when the NFL draft rolls around is 2027 NFL draftee Jaden Baugh from Florida. Now, Billy Napier was unceremoniously dismissed last year. Now they have John Summerall coming in from Tulane, who is just simply incredible when it comes to running back production. Remember Tyjae Spears, right? So this year you've got Jaden Baugh, 6'1", 228. Cleans 5.25, you know, reportedly runs a 4.56. He's the type of guy that is so sturdy. You need to pretty much gang tackle him every single time he touches the ball to get him on the ground. I think where he's getting away from that Napier system that was just a disaster for SEC purposes and you get into Summerall coming in, I love what we're getting from Jaden Baugh. As you see, I got him as my number 4 running back in this year's class.
Jaden Baugh is an absolute workhorse who can bowl you over and run past you. He is going to be one of the best in the SEC. You said Kewon Lacy for Ole Miss, who is still there, was a guy that was a finalist for the Doak Walker last year in college football as well. Eric Froton joining us here on Live Bet Sunday, lead college football analyst for Yahoo Sports and breaking things down from the fantasy football perspective, making its way college football-wise to Yahoo this year. Eric, I think you mentioned it in terms of something to understand in college football, fantasy football. There's 68 Power 4 programs. There's only 32 NFL teams. And of course, there are so many new names and faces to know each and every year in the current climate of CFB because of the transfer portal. Who are some of the most impactful transfers that you are identifying and highlighting ahead of 2026?
Yeah, well, as we all know, the transfer portal really does dictate so much of what happens in a year-to-year basis, because you're going to have the graduates that are gone anyways, but then with the transfer portal coming in and being more and more of a factor, you have to know about the movement. And frankly, when it comes to, you know, the most impactful players, you'll have some P4 to P4, but I got to tell you, the teams are doing a pretty good job from a fantasy perspective, the big ones, of retaining their players. It's more the impact players coming up from the G6 teams that that we're really dealing with a lot of projection with. You got to start with pretty much Oklahoma State in general. Eric Morris coming over from North Texas, bringing the big three. You know, like it's basketball all again, but you bring in Caleb Hawkins at running back, Drew Mestemaker at quarterback, and of course, Wyatt Young at wide receiver. Three fantasy superstars going over to Oklahoma State. Only scored 14 points a game last year. What happened, Mike Gundy? You're a man, you're 40. You can only score 14 points a game? What is the deal? Well, now with Eric Morris coming in, you know, formerly of Texas Tech, straight air raid awesomeness coming your way to inject a little fuel into that sort of down program. I'm looking at all of them, obviously. They are all extremely important in being selected high in drafts. Also want to take a look at Cam Cook going to West Virginia. You know, we talk about running backs, of course, being the engines of your fantasy offense. Cam Cook at Jacksonville State last year was almost a 2,000-yard total yard player. I mean, they kept giving him carries. Rich Rodriguez, former coach at Jacksonville State, now at West Virginia. Welcome back. And he brings in Cam Cook, who he's very familiar with. I think he's going to ride him hard. You're going to see a lot of Cam Cook. He's a top 10 running back in P4 leagues for fantasy purposes.
Cam Cook, the leading rusher in the nation last year, reunites with Rich Rod. That should be very beneficial and productive. And I'm a big believer in Eric Morris and what the Pokes do this year, Eric. And a lot of that is because of Caleb Hawkins, a guy that had more than 1,800 scrimmage yards last year and 29 total touchdowns, 25 on the ground for receiving tuds as well. Eric Froton joining us here, lead college football analyst for Yahoo Sports via the Progressive Guest Line on Live Bet Sunday. And Eric, I think it's a cool thing when you talk college football fantasy, but also you can kind of relay it to where the gambling odds are as well. And of course, if you're talking individuals, you're looking at the Heisman Trophy. CJ Carr, the Notre Dame quarterback, is the favorite right now at plus 700. Arch Manning, second best price, only a half dollar behind at plus 750. Dante Moore, 11-1. Darian Mensah, now playing with Miami, fourth best price, plus 1150. Julian Sand, the quarterback for Ohio State, and of course, his teammate and top target, Jeremiah Smith, not all that far behind. When you look at the Heisman Trophy prices, just looking at what these individuals can produce in a new college football season, what do you think of this Heisman Trophy list and how it stacks up at this moment?
Yeah, gosh, I love Jeremiah Smith. I mean, you need the hype machine to get rolling for Heisman purposes. And I feel like the archetype has been set. We had Hunter, you know, a couple of years ago take home the Heisman. He had the offense-defensive profile. But you know, we love our generational prospects. And you can't get any more generational than the next Julio Jones and Jeremiah Smith. I was lucky enough to see him a couple times in person on the field. I saw him once at the Elite 11 camp when he was 17 years old. And it was a man among boys situation. One, definitely the most impressive skill position performance I saw during my 6-7 years going to the Elite 11. And then I also had the opportunity to see him against Minnesota from the field. It was an NBC game last year and was standing right next to him. Oh my gosh. Good luck dealing with Jeremiah Smith. I know he's 14-1. I got him at 17 to start. I can't help but love him out of that favorites list. If I had to go with somebody down the board a little bit, I love Nick Marsh for Indiana. transferring over from Michigan State, had 28 missed tackles last year, a 48% missed tackle rate. That is obnoxious. Doesn't have Aiden Childs throwing him the ball, literally the least accurate quarterback in the entire P4 last year. Goes over to Indiana, he's going to take over that Elijah Surratt role, where he's 10 times better than Surratt, a guy who scored a touchdown just about every game last year. I love the dark horse Nick Marsh props.
He's now got Josh Hoover throwing him the football, and you see the price on IU's quarterback, 13-1 for Hoover, who in years at TCU has thrown for more than or nearly 10,000 passing yards in his career and more than 70 touchdowns. Eric Froton, lead college football analyst for Yahoo Sports, joining us here on Live Bet Sunday. Eric, we appreciate the time greatly. Thank you for getting people set for what they need to know for college football, fantasy football, and, of course, just the entire season in general. Thanks for making us smarter here on this Sunday evening.
Happy to do it, Ben. I'll talk to you soon, my brother.
We will talk very soon. Some great stuff right there from Eric Froton. A name that I would mention also as a running back moving up from the G6 to the Power 4. We'll talk about it later. It's in the College Football Betting Guide. It's my optimism for UCLA in 2026. I got the Bruins going over 6.5 wins. Know the name if you do not already. It is Wayne Knight, an all-purpose All-American last year at James Madison, and what he can do in terms of scrimmage yards with more than 1,700 last year for the Dukes, I think very much fits into the profile that Eric laid out for a running back that can get some job done as a receiver and also on the ground as well. In fact, we will talk some college football on the other side of the break. I will give you one of my favorite bets that is included in the College Football Betting Guide. It's a champion of the Mountain West, and they reside in Albuquerque. We'll break down New Mexico's odds up next here on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
We welcome you back to Live Bet Sunday. And after Eric Froton, lead college football analyst for Yahoo Sports, delivered the goods in our first segment of this third hour, we keep that college football theme here into our second segment, because we are under 2 weeks away from the start of the college football campaign in 2026. An 8-game FBS slate 2 Saturdays from now, August 29th. On a day coined as week zero. But oftentimes week zero and people think, the games are mediocre, not all that good. Hearsay, malarkey. It is an awesome slate. It starts with the Irish opener in year two in Chapel Hill for North Carolina and Bill Belichick. They take on TCU. The Horned Frogs early this summer were a 6.5-point favorite. That line now north of a touchdown. It is 7.5 in favor of TCU against UNC. We are also going to see USC begin year number 5 under Lincoln Riley and their returning starting quarterback for a second consecutive year, Jaden Maiava, who in the college football betting guide here on VSiN, I gave out his number to win the Heisman Trophy at 25-1. We talked some Heisman prices with Eric Froton just a few minutes back. There is the Heisman track record under Lincoln Riley, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield. Jalen Hurts was a finalist, of course, in Los Angeles with Caleb Williams. You know that if you are anchoring and orchestrating Riley's offensive scheme, the number is going to be there. Maiava last year, top 10 in the sport, more than 3,700 passing yards, had the highest QBR in the country in college football. And that returns along with 8 other starters offensively for the Trojans. Very difficult schedule for Southern Cal, but if USC can navigate it to the tune of maybe 9 or at least 10 wins and get to the college football playoff, I think Jaden Maiava is a Heisman finalist, and I think that 25-1 price is certainly not going to be there as we trend into November and late December. That was one of the bets given out in the college football betting guide. There are a ton that are in there overall, and as we said, just 2 weeks away, college football season is almost here. And betting it blind is a losing strategy. Get the VSiN College Football Guide free with VSiN Pro. It has previews of all 138 FBS teams, our preseason top 50, power ratings, proven betting systems, and best bets from VSiN's sharpest minds. That's not all. VSiN Pro also gets you the NFL betting guide, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, daily best bets, and real-time betting splits. 24/7 video as well on the VSiN Watch app. Try it today for just $9.99 or lock in a full year and save 50% with a VSiN Pro annual subscription. Head to vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. I'm honored. I'm privileged to be a part of the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. There are many sharp minds involved in it. There are many college football junkies and aficionados here on VSiN, the sports betting network. And we were just talking about week zero. There's a couple of Mountain West teams playing in week zero, including the FBS debut for the FCS powerhouse that won 10 of the previous 15 national championships at that level from Fargo, North Dakota, the North Dakota State Bison. They will have their FBS opener against Jacksonville State. It is right smack dab in the middle of the week zero slate. I think NDSU now up to a 9.5-point favorite against the Gamecocks of Jacks State. I would also highlight a game later on the week zero slate. It is the Mountain West Conference favorites in UNLV taking on a Memphis team in what could be considered a game that will have implications for who that group of six representative we all expect to see in the college football playoff come December. A critical, critical game out of the gates for Dan Mullen in his second year leading the Rebs in 2026. But it is neither UNLV the favorites nor North Dakota State with the second best number that I am picking to win the Mountain West Conference Championship. It is the team with the third best price at a 3-1 number known as the New Mexico Lobos. If you do not know the name Jason Eck, you will shortly. This play, of course, given out in the College Football Betting Guide as well. Because this New Mexico team last year won 9 games. In the debut season for Eck as an FBS head coach, had great success at Idaho State in 3 years prior at the FCS level, multiple playoff appearances. Comes to Albuquerque, takes over this New Mexico football program, leads them to 9 wins, the most ever by a first-year head coach in the history of Lobos football. He leads them to a perfect home record, 6-0, the best since the 1930s for New Mexico football. And in today's day and age, if you can get the buy-in that Jason Eck has had for a second straight year in Albuquerque, not just fans, financial support, alignment among the administration, but with your roster, because when you're that good at the group of six level, when you are that good in the Mountain West, you become somewhat of a feeder program for the big guys, for the power four teams, guys probably leaving New Mexico and heading to places along the West Coast, like in Oregon, a Washington, or maybe anywhere else in the country to join a bigger program. That was not really the case for the Lobos entering 2026. In fact, 14 starters are back for New Mexico. 14 guys that logged at least 6 starts in 2025 are back for Eck and Company in 2026. That is top 5 nationally. That is by far the most out of a group of 6 program. Of those 14 starters, it includes Jack Lane, the starting quarterback from last year, a dynamic piece to anchor that offense for UNM. Has a really good arm, but also some athletic traits in terms of running the football. 14 starters return, 63% of the production from a season ago back in Albuquerque as well. That is by far the most in the Mountain West. That is the second most returning production in terms of percentage among group of 6 programs this year in college football. It is for all of those reasons that I am buying into New Mexico. The win total for the Lobos, depending on how you look at the juice, is either 7.5, and the over has the juice at -186, finding their way to 8 wins, which by college football standards is always successful, or it's 8.5, and the under has the juice at -180. I think New Mexico is going to get the 9 wins. I would not be surprised if the Lobos get to double digits, because if we go back to those Mountain West Conference Championship odds, UNM has that third best price, the Lobos at +300. UNLV is the favorite. North Dakota State has the second best number. I just shared why I love New Mexico overall, but one of the reasons I actually like them winning the conference championship and not just a win total or feeling optimistic about this team, but winning the Mountain West, is because they will host both UNLV and NDSU. They're two closest conference competitors by the odds and by everything we expect for the new look Mountain West this year. They will host in Albuquerque, where last year, New Mexico was a perfect 6-0 for the first time in nearly a century. I am a big believer in Jason Eck. I'm a believer in all that returns to Albuquerque this year, including starting quarterback Jack Lane. And I am a believer in the slate. New Mexico is not the favorite to win the Mountain West Conference, but they do host the favorite in UNLV and the second best price, North Dakota State, at home this year. Give me some Lobos at a 3-1 number to win the Mountain West Conference. If you like that breakdown or you hated it and you think there's better out there, that's what the College Football Betting Guide is for. We get you ready here on VSiN for just 2 weeks from now, the week zero slate and everything following. Previews of all 138 FBS programs. And it's not just, okay, Oregon's going to win a national championship, or here's the winner in the SEC, or here's what I like with Lane Kiffin's first year in Baton Rouge. Look at the win total conference. But we're breaking things down in the Mountain West, my friends. If you can do that and you get that in the College Football Betting Guide, you will be ready for a new college football season. Again, one of my favorite plays in the guide, one of my favorite plays for this college football year, New Mexico at a 3-1 number to win the Mountain West crown. Jason Eck is a name to know for 2026 in college football. We will have so much more football talk throughout Live Bet Sunday. Next up, joining us here on Live Bet Sunday, we'll get back not from college, but to the National Football League. Ryan Reynolds of Establish the Run will be here for his week one preseason takeaways and what it means for the regular season around the National Football League, what it might be telling him about the best spots to bet. It could be rookie of the year odds. It could be win totals. It could be conference prices. We will talk with Ryan about those very things here on the other side of the break. But let's take a quick check into Sunday night baseball in Houston between the Astros and the Mariners. Bottom of the fourth, just about to begin. The Astros still trail 2-0. Now the score. Hunter Brown in this game, 78 pitches through four innings, has allowed 2 earned runs. Dominic Canzone is having himself a sensational year in the Pacific Northwest. Of course, this game in Houston had an RBI single to start the third inning in the top of the third, following Randy Arozarena's solo home run shot in the top of the first. The Mariners jump in front 2-0. But the Astros have answered. The leadoff batter in the bottom of the fourth, Jeremy Pena, goes yard. First run for Houston, a 2-1 score as Yordan Alvarez steps to the plate. The leadoff man leads the fourth and gets the best of Brian Wu, who, if I'm not mistaken, that was his first earned run, but he had allowed one prior hit in his first three innings. So 2-1 the score. Houston now only trails by one. They were -119 to win this game as the slight favorites entering. It is a +123 price now for the Astros as the underdog in the bottom of the fourth. Again, to start the inning, Jeremy Pena goes deep, and Yordan Alvarez is next up. Good luck to Brian Wu in this frame against the best hitter in baseball this year and the guy that is going to win American League MVP. Back to the National Football League on the other side here on Live Bet Sunday on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back right here on Live Bet Sunday. In the month of August, we get you ready for a new season in the National Football League following the conclusion of week one of the NFL preseason. Now, listen, I can understand if you do not love preseason football. I don't agree. I love it. I watch a ton of the games, and I love to learn what rosters are going to look like, what two deeps are going to look like, and I love seeing my favorite college football stars from years ago maybe just battling for a spot on the roster. But I do think the NFL preseason can teach us things, or at least give us an opportunity to learn what we might be able to anticipate in some spots for a new year, which is exactly what we are going to do right now with Ryan Reynolds from Establish the Run here on Live Bet Sunday on the Progressive Guest Line. Ryan, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here. As a fan of preseason football, I would assume, I appreciate your time on this Sunday.
I'm pretty sure they don't let you write anything at ETR if you're not a preseason guy. So, yeah, you can extract details, nuggets from every game. So, looking forward to talking shop with you.
One of my mottos and creeds in life as well is Establish the Run. So, I'm very happy to be chopping it up here on this Sunday. Now, Ryan, I have a list of some of your reactions. Week one preseason fallout. And the first is a win total to the under of 8.5 for the Pittsburgh Steelers, which frankly has not happened in two decades in the Steel City. And after the start of the Drew Aller era, we're going under 8.5 for the Steelers?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I like being able to pair any kind of detail you can with a win total. And with the Steelers, they're a veteran team. For me, I do not view Mike McCarthy as an even trade for Mike Tomlin. Like you just mentioned, they've had a winning record for almost 20 years. I believe it's 2007 till last season. I don't think it's an even swap. I don't. Now, Michael Pittman added to the offense is a positive, but he's not exactly Jerry Rice. So that doesn't really, you know, blow my hair back or what remnants of hair I have left. The defense is better, you know, but still, I don't think it's the Steelers of old. Average offensive line. We got a quarterback that turns 43 years old in early December. And here's the kicker for me. After Pittsburgh's bye week, they come off and face at Cincinnati, at Philly, versus Denver, versus Houston, at Jacksonville on Monday Night Football, versus Baltimore. That's a brutal stretch. That's a stretch where they could conceivably lose most, if not all, of those games. And if that happens, I think you're going to need at least two wins out of versus Carolina, at Tennessee, at Baltimore, out of the last three games to finish the season. But if Pittsburgh goes through a messy stretch, through that tough stretch, I think you're going to see a little Drew Allar at the end of the season. So I already liked the under to begin with. I think we have another, you know, we're a range of outcomes guys here. I think we have another path where you see a rookie quarterback, you know, he's up and down college career, talented guy. I think we have a path where maybe you see him a couple times at the end of the year if the Steelers start to fall late in the year.
Allar was great on Thursday night in the Steelers preseason debut against the Packers, led three scoring drives, tossed a couple of touchdowns himself. Will Howard, a former Big Ten quarterback at Ohio State, also looking really sharp. I only am half kidding, Ryan, when I say I'm already workshopping the takes that it should be Howard Steelers or Allar Steelers in front of Aaron Rodgers Steelers in his final NFL season, as he does turn 43 in early December. Ryan is spot on there. Ryan Reynolds from Establish the Run joining us on the Progressive Guest Line here on Live Bet Sunday. Elsewhere is a part of those six games that we had to kick off week one of the NFL preseason, Ryan, on Thursday. Tennessee Titans picked up a victory in Santa Clara against the 49ers. But Cam Ward did not necessarily look crystal clean to start his second year in the National Football League. What's your evaluation of Tennessee entering 2026?
In general, I'm concerned about the Titans. You know, the Robert Saleh, Brian Daboll combination gives me zero enthusiasm. You know, then you're overpaying guys like Wandell Robinson, solid player, but huge payday. Cordell Flott, who's, you know, an average NFL cornerback, and the worst one is Daniel Bellinger. All Giants transplants, all overpaid. These are moves bad organizations make. And to circle back to Cam Ward, like you mentioned, he went 5-for-12 against the San Francisco backups. That's not the end of the world. It's the preseason. You know, it's 12 passing attempts. But, however, bad organization. I'm very concerned about Cam Ward's supporting cast. You know, it's they have a nice opening day spot against the Jets, but after that, I could see Tennessee struggling all year. And I think if there's one dark horse team that I could see being worse than Miami or Arizona, it's actually Tennessee that's on my radar. And that first preseason game did not help me change that stance.
Yeah, listen, I kind of agree. I love Carnell Tate. I hope that's a good relationship for Cam Ward there offensively. But I don't expect much out of the Titans this season. I also love the NFL preseason, Ryan, because you get glimpses at guys that were drafted early that are going to be contenders for Offensive Rookie of the Year. I was talking about Fernando Mendoza and his Raider debut earlier in the show, and why I don't think Mendoza's plus 550 price, tied for the second best alongside Carnell Tate, is worth the wager, because we're not entirely sure when we are going to see Mendoza for Las Vegas in 2026. As you look at those Offensive Rookie of the Year odds following the week one slate in the NFL preseason, who is a name that you are targeting now, maybe after their preseason debut?
You know, KC Concepcion went up my list a little bit after the first preseason game. You know, we got a messy quarterback situation in Cleveland. Looks like Deshaun Watson's going to start, which means Shador Sanders is probably going to see playing time at some point in the season. And maybe Dylan Gabriel sees some action at some point as well. So that's messy. Offensive line's not a great situation either. But Concepcion looked like a player. To circle back to what you said about Mendoza, I love Mendoza. You know, Kirk Cousins might end up playing a month, so I'm going to wait to get involved with him in the Offensive Rookie of the Year. Mm-hmm. You can, as long as he plays by the start of October, he still has a shot, but I don't think now's the time, like you said, at plus 550. I don't want to do that. Jeremiah Love's already banged up. Maybe he has a high ankle sprain, and on top of that, James Conner's in that backfield, Tyler Allgeier's in that backfield, bad roster, tough schedule, not real crazy about that. Jadarian Price in Seattle has an interesting path now. That's a good situation for him. But Cornell Tate, again, he has that good matchup against the Jets. I think after him, Concepcion's the next most interesting receiver. And at plus 2,800, he's, if you're looking at a long shot, I think he has the best shot outside of Tate to lead his team in targets among rookie wide receivers.
He had three grabs for 27 yards in the Browns' preseason debut. Also had a carry for 14 yards. He's been a training camp buzz guy, at least in the last few weeks in Cleveland, because he can kind of do it all, both involved in the ground game and certainly as a wideout as well. Ryan Reynolds joining us here on Live Bet Sunday on the Progressive Guest Line from Establish the Run, NFL preseason week one takeaways, getting you set for the regular season and beyond in the National Football League. We talked about Cam Ward, and although he was 5 of 12 in a preseason game, it's the obvious context and the caveats, Ryan, necessary. He's playing backups. He should have looked better, but it's just preseason. Big whoop, big deal. I know many were looking at Ty Simpson's Rams debut, 21 of 25, 190 yards, two touchdowns, and saying, hey, he was playing third and fourth string guys that are going to be playing in the UFL in a few months. But you can only play the guys that are facing you on the opposing side, and he looked really good. What did you take away from Ty Simpson's debut as a Los Angeles Ram?
I first caught a pass he threw. It looked like it was from the 6-yard line. It was a touchdown pass. You know, I thought it was Matthew Stafford at first glance, and then I zeroed in, saw it was Simpson. You know, decisive decision. Windows closed very fast in that area of the field. Zip on the throw. It made me go back and watch all of his snaps. And I'm a rookie card buyer. I love prospecting on players, and Simpson was obviously already on my radar because of the landing spot, but I really liked what I saw, and I'm going to dab a little bit more than I already planned. And even further, I think if Stafford missed a month, obviously that's a bad thing, but I think Simpson could keep him alive for a few games already.
That's an interesting conversation. I live here in Los Angeles. That's been the basically position battle at Rams training camp. Who's going to be the backup? Stetson Bennett got the start. Ty Simpson looked really, really good. All eyes in the Giants-Vikings preseason opener on Kyler Murray taking his first snaps with Minnesota. But on the other side, we saw Jackson Dart for a limited sample size as well. Did throw a touchdown for the Giants against the Vikings yesterday. 7.5 the win total for the G-Man, Ryan, entering this season. About a minute remaining in this segment. What's your perspective for Jackson Dart now under the tutelage of John Harbaugh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was in the blue tenth again. I know that's a thing. You know, he takes brutal, gruesome hits. The hit doesn't concern me as much as that he didn't see pressure coming towards his throwing side. He just took it right on the chin without seeing it. He's in his second year. That's usually not a good sign. We saw Anthony Richardson take a shot like that too. That concerns me. It looks like the path to an over for the Giants is defense, physical running game. If they hit their over, it's going to be by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah. I'm not necessarily a believer in that over. I know a lot of people are kind of touting it at this time of year. I'll wait to see what Jackson Dart and Cam Scadaboo can do if they both remain healthy. Ryan Reynolds joining us here on Live Bet Sunday, doing great work covering the National Football League for Establish the Run at Ryan Reynolds NFL on Twitter or X, whatever you call it. Ryan, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening.
You're the same. Pleasure as always.
Great having you here on Live Bet Sunday. The Giants with a 7.5 win total is intriguing. I think many people believe the G-men are better than I think because of John Harbaugh. We'll see if Jackson Dart can take that leap if fully healthy here in year number two. Really stout defense, of course, on the other side when you have Brian Burns, the veteran, leading things along for that New York defense. A lot to continue to break down around the NFL. We will update Sunday night baseball as well as we head to the home half of the fifth in Houston between the Astros and the Mariners. Houston on the board courtesy of a solo shot from Jeremy Pena in the fourth inning, but still trail 2-1. Plenty more on the other side next on Live Bet Sunday.
Sunday on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Live Bet Sunday here on VSEN, the Sports Betting Network. I am Ben Stevens. Thank you for being here. Sirius XM, channel 159, the VSEN Watch app, YouTube TV. You can build your multi-view with VSEN in one spot and with Sunday Night Baseball in the other. That continues on in Houston. The Astros trail by a run. It is 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth. with one out. Brian Wu has looked incredibly clean today, has allowed just one run against Houston. It was a solo shot from Jeremy Peña to lead off the previous inning in the bottom of the fourth. In the top of the first, it was Randy Arozarena, who hit a solo home run for Seattle to get the scoring started. And a couple of frames later, Dominic Canzone, who has had an absolutely fantastic year for the M's, drives in a run as well. 2-1 the lead for Seattle. Houston enters this Sunday night baseball finale with a 2.5 game. Sorry, they just flashed something on Sunday Night Baseball's broadcast that was two dinosaur stuffed animals kissing each other on the right field wall out there in Houston. I'm not listening to the game, so I don't have any context. Really just caught me off guard if you saw the face that I made. Anyway, Houston, 2.5 game lead in the American League West as the Rangers lose today in Sacramento to the Athletics. And Houston has been great since the All-Star break. 16-10 the mark in H-Town, third best among the American League. They've got a 2.5 game lead. With a win today, it would be 3 in front of Texas. If not, it would fall back to 2. Seattle has not been great since the All-Star break. It's been a disappointing year for the M's. It was a year that was very close to after last year, reaching the World Series for the first time in franchise history, that much enthusiasm and optimism was coming with the Mariners this season. Instead, the M's post All-Star break, 10-17, third worst in the American League. Only the Athletics, 8-20, and the Guardians, 9-19, have a worse record than Seattle post All-Star break. They are out of the fifth inning. A good stretch there by Josh Naylor at first to record that final out. So after 5 frames in Houston, the Mariners in front 2-1. Just to update the live betting prices, because Houston was a slight money line favorite at -119 entering with Hunter Brown on the bump. It is Seattle as a -189 favorite as we speak. The sixth inning about to begin. 6.5 is the total. Pregame number was 7 and a hook. It is the NFL. We're getting ready for it. We are 25 days away from that season opener on a Wednesday night in Seattle between the Seahawks and the New England Patriots. It is year number 3 under Mike McDonald. It is the second year with Sam Darnold as the starting quarterback. The Seahawks played in some preseason game on Saturday. Elsewhere around the sport this week and NFL preseason week 1, as we just discussed with Ryan Reynolds, there are many takeaways to be had. It might not necessarily be just based on that preseason action, but can we get a small glimpse, a small sliver of what this year might look like for those teams based on preseason results? It was an interesting day for the New York Jets in their preseason debut because, of course, back in New York now for the Jets, it is Geno Smith. He was expected to play a few plays in the preseason opener at MetLife on Friday against the Buccaneers, not be out there for a ton of time, but just to play maybe a series or two. But Geno Smith in joint practices earlier in the week got a little banged up, so Aaron Glenn, entering his second year at the helm of gangrene, decided, you know what, let's pump the brakes on the veteran. Let's see what the young guys got. Cade Klubnik got the start in short notice for the New York Jets, the former Clemson quarterback, and he looked very in command of this Jets offense, leading a scoring drive. He was 5 of 7 himself for 56 yards, making the start for the Jets. Here's what Aaron Glenn had to say about Klubnik's NFL preseason debut.
Today was really a thumbs up for him. But listen, guys, don't get it twisted at all. When we're still in the competition, this is just the first preseason game. And those guys are going to continue to fight it out. So, and I look forward to that. But I'll tell you what, I was happy and proud of the way that he operated.
5.5 the win total for Aaron Glenn and his Jets entering his second year at the helm. Of course, last year was not a very fun year in New York by any means. And Aaron Glenn's debut as a head coach. And oftentimes he would say things about like reaching out to people and trying to get advice or whatever midway through the year that did not necessarily sit kindly on the ears of those Jets faithful. 5.5 the win total for New York, the over a slight bit of juice at -120. It feels fitting. The Jets are going to be alongside the Dolphins in the bottom of the barrel in the AFC East. The Jets, like the Dolphins, are going to be one of the worst teams in the National Football League this upcoming year. In fact, when you look at the odds right now in terms of those wins, of who might have the worst regular season record, that to be the favorite is not the right way of saying it, but to have the shortest price is the Arizona Cardinals at plus 250. I agree with that. The Dolphins have the second best number at plus 350, and the third shortest price is the Jets at plus 850. One of the interesting things is we talk offensive rookie of the year, and I made my point about Fernando Mendoza, but I do think Ryan Reynolds, who joined us in our last segment, had a fair assessment as well. When you are playing bad football at a certain time, even with a veteran quarterback guiding things, Geno Smith in New York, Kirk Cousins, at least we anticipate for the Las Vegas Raiders. If you are playing bad football and there doesn't seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel, your fans are going to clamor to see the young quarterback to at least give some hope or promise for the future. And Fernando Mendoza is going to take the reins of this Raiders franchise. I love what Vegas is building up around their quarterback who they drafted first overall. But I say this in terms of Cade Klubnik, who looked great in his preseason debut, led multiple scoring drives, again, 5 of 7 for 56 yards by himself individually. If Geno Smith goes out there and in the first 8 games of the year, the New York Jets are 2-6, those clamorings for Cade Klubnik and to see what he has at the quarterback position are only going to be heightened. So when you look then at the awards market, an offensive rookie of the year, although I do not believe it is worth betting Fernando Mendoza at plus 550 now, or scrolling down to find Klubnik's price as I am trying to see it there. If I can, did it not do it correctly? All right, I'm trying to, there it is. At 80-1 for Cade Klubnik, it might not be worth a bet now. Klubnik at a much longer number. So if you really believe that he is going to start multiple games for the New York Jets and is able to put up the numbers necessary for a quarterback to win Offensive Rookie of the Year, because more than likely he is not leading his team to success, that being the New York Jets, you can buy that number now, or you can wait later in the year to see when Cade Klubnik actually becomes the starter. We saw Tyler Shuck do something very similar for the Saints last year. He was not the starter from the very start of the year, but took the reins, looked really good for the Saints down the stretch, and got himself involved in Offensive Rookie of the Year conversations. Some might have voted for Shuck instead of Tet McMillan, but instead it goes to Tyroa McMillan because of the number in production, of course, with Bryce Young as his quarterback. I don't think Mendoza at plus 550 is worth a shot at this very moment. But if later in the year, the Raiders bye week, by the way, week 13, a little bit later into this season than you would want maybe for a rookie quarterback to take the reins. But that plus 550 price, if Mendoza is not playing in the first 8-9 weeks of the year, but then he becomes available with the storyline and narrative as the Raiders starter and you see some glimpses, then I would maybe think about going in on that number. We also heard Ryan Reynolds highlight KC Concepcion, who is a little bit of a do-everything guy for the Cleveland Browns. Might be one of the few bright spots offensively for Todd Monken in his first year. I go a little bit deeper down the list as well at a 75-1 price. We talked about it with Eric Froton. We'll talk about it here. Emmett Johnson last year for the Nebraska Cornhuskers did everything. Top 5 in the country in terms of rushing yardage. Very heavily involved in the passing attack for the Huskers as well. If you saw him in his preseason debut for the Kansas City Chiefs yesterday against the Rams, he had more than 12 touches. On the ground, he had 58 yards. He had nearly 70 total yards as well for this KC offense. Now, they bring in Kenneth Walker III, the reigning Super Bowl 60 MVP, to be an offensive piece in the backfield. The Chiefs really have not had out of some bright spots from Isaiah Pacheco a few years back and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but they are trying to solidify the running back position. That is what K9 is going to do, Kenneth Walker III. But I do believe Emmett Johnson is going to fully function in this Kansas City offense. And it's a KC offense that I expect to be a ton better in 2026. Keep an eye on that 75-1 price for Emmett Johnson, EJ as he is known, a rookie running back after an awesome preseason debut for the Chiefs. And as we are detailing for you on this Live Bet Sunday, football season is basically here and the sharp money is already moving. Here's how the sharp plays sees it first. Exclusive data feeds from 4 major sports books. Thousands of sharp bettors and professional syndicates tracked in real time before the market moves. All of it filtered and sorted by version 6.0 of their AI model. That's the machine. Now the receipts. Every play logged. Every result public. Records back to 2011. Live logs since 2021. It all feeds a live performance terminal. Check it out anytime. No login. No paywall. Nobody else in the industry runs one because most records couldn't survive it. The sharp plays record gets audited daily by their own haters. No steam chasing, no stale trends, no recycled plays. Follow the sharp money at sharpplays.com. Our fourth and final hour on Live Bet Sunday comes your way next.